morning, church. Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke today. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and we will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. May God's blessing be on the reading and the hearing of this word. When Pastor Karen first asked me to speak on the gifts from Mary, I have to admit I was a little deflated. Growing up, Mary was never one of my favorite Bible characters. I mean, what is she known for? Having a baby? Okay, so he was an amazing baby. But still, my 9-year-old self was not interested in having babies. I wanted to ride bikes and go exploring and play on the boys' baseball team. I didn't want anyone to tell me to be like Mary, quiet, complacent, accepting of her fate. To me, Mary was the opposite of what I wanted to be as a woman. If I had had to pick a role model from the Bible back then, I would much rather have been Deborah, who was a judge in the Old Testament, and she led soldiers into battle. Or maybe I could be Queen Esther, who fought the patriarchy using her cunning and her influence. These women were active. They were doing something. They were not just the serene Mother Mary that we see in all of the nativity scenes, looking down at her beautiful baby. Unfortunately, this idea of Mary as a quiet role model for subservient women was one that the church hung on to. They taught to women for centuries that this is what a woman should be. Women should stay in the home, be mothers and wives, a helpmeet, not a doer. Women should be passive, not active. And that kind of thinking permeated all of church culture. I remember that when I first started sensing God's call in my life, I was probably about 12, I decided that the best way I could serve God was to become a missionary's wife. Not a missionary myself, but a missionary's wife. Now, don't get me wrong. Being a wife and a mother is important and amazing, but I know that not everybody wants to or has the opportunity to do that. But it's just been the only role that God had. It couldn't have been the only role that God had in mind for women and for me. I just didn't know it at the time. So imagine my surprise and my excitement when I realized, well into my 20s, that I could be ordained in the United Methodist Church, a woman pastor. Imagine that. Not that every congregation would welcome me with open arms. Even today, I know of churches in my own denomination, liberal United Methodist denomination, that won't accept a woman as a senior pastor. And I can't tell you how many times I've had someone, usually a man, but sometimes another woman, call my sermon a little talk, as in, I enjoyed your little talk on Sunday. As if women can't give sermons. But once I got to seminary, that's where I learned something new about Mary that totally changed my view of her and her role in the story of God. I learned that very early on in the history of the church, the title given to Mary was Theotokos, a Greek word that literally means God-bearer or God-bringer. It's a word that has kind of fallen out of usage in the Western church, but it's still a very strong concept in the Greek Orthodox church. Theotokos, Mary, the God-bringer. I love that. It makes her sound like a superhero, doesn't it? The God-bringer. Theotokos reminds us that Mary is the human who literally brought God to the world. No longer would God be out there or up there, somewhere apart from us. Because of Mary, God is right here. Not only is Mary essential to the entire Christian story, but here's what really got me. Mary shows us that ordinary humans, even women, can bring God to the world. Now, I read earlier that familiar Advent story of the angel and Mary, and I want to continue on a little bit with the story. I'm going to use the Message, which is a very modern retelling of the story in a way you've probably never heard it before. We're going to start right after the angel leaves and Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant herself with John the Baptist. That's what Pastor Karen told us about last week. Here's what the Message says. Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house, and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she sang out exuberantly, "You are so blessed among women, and the babe in your womb is also blessed. And why am I so blessed that the mother of the God visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true." And Mary said, "I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me, and look what happened. I am the most fortunate woman on earth." In the Western church, we call this joyful response of Mary to Elizabeth's pronouncement, we call it the Magnificat, reflecting the first line in Latin, "Magnificat anima mea dominum." My soul magnifies God. My soul magnifies God. Me, says Mary, a poor, unmarried, illiterate peasant girl. My soul enlarges God. This, it seems to me, is the gift of Mary. The idea, the belief that ordinary people, women and men, can magnify God in the way we live our lives. We can magnify God, we can shout God, we can praise God, we can dance the song of our Savior God. We can bring God to the world in whatever ways we choose. We can all be a Theotokos, or I guess in the plural it'd be the Theotokai. I've been blessed with so many wonderful God bringers in my life. People who lived in God's spirit and showed me all the strengths of their soul, the love, the hope, the compassion of God. My mother and my grandmother, my Sunday school teachers and my camp counselors, my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Adams, even though I tried that woman's patience, my kids, my husband, they're all God bringers in my life. But one God bringer in particular is my best friend, Lisa. We've been friends since our very first days of seminary. And for over 15 years, we met and had lunch every Friday. And every week, she would sit across the table from me and ask, "How are you, friend?" And I knew she meant it. She wanted to hear about my real life, my joys, and my struggles, everything. And about a year ago, Lisa moved to Albuquerque. Now, we still talk and we visit when we can, but, you know, it's not really the same. But every once in a while, often when I'm feeling stressed or burnt out or I just need a friend, I'll get a ping on my phone, and there's a text from Lisa saying, "How are you, friend?" She is a God bringer. We all need God bringers, and we all need to be God bringers. When God chose Mary, God chose each of us. The gift of Mary this Advent is knowing that we all, women, men, non-binary, and those who have yet to discover, we all can be God bringers to the world. There are countless ways in the Christmas season to bring God. Serving the homeless, buying gifts or gift cards for children, making a pledge or a donation to the church, inviting someone who's alone to your holiday meal, maybe just texting someone you haven't seen in a while and saying, "How are you, friend?" And then maybe, I hope, we can all say with Mary, "I am bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me and look what happened. I am the most fortunate woman on earth." As Pastor Karen explained last week, during Advent we're going to end each sermon with a short slideshow of people who exemplify the gifts of Advent. And today I want to highlight women who, like Mary, were probably told that they should be quiet and be good and be subservient. Stay in your place. Don't make waves. But these are women who did not listen. Some of them you may recognize. Others are personal heroes and a couple friends of mine. But each of them shares this gift of Mary. They have been a Theotokos and have brought God to the world. Amen.